So I have been here before. I've been here a couple of times before. I'm Sarah Farkas, and for those of you who don't know me, I'll give you just a little brief. I am the chaplain at the Allegan County Jail with Forgotten Man Ministries, and I'm also the pastor of a new church plant in Allegan called Rectify, and we meet on Tuesday nights. And so if you're looking for something to do on a Tuesday night, we have a really good time. It's from 6 to 8. We get together, we eat together, and we worship together and just enjoy each other's company. And it's like one big happy family. So if you're ever in Allegan on a Tuesday and looking for something to do, look us up. Let's see. Today, we are going to be in Acts 2. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn there, and I think it says in the bulletin that we were going to do verses 1 through 13. But then as I was prepping and kind of going through, we're going to really just focus on the first four verses. And so let's say a blessing over God's word as we read, and then we'll get into it, okay? Lord, we thank you so much that your word is living and breathing, and that every single time we open it, that we encounter you. So we pray that as your word is read this morning and as we go through these next few minutes together, that you just that we encounter you, that you plant these words on our heart, and that as we leave this place, that we leave transformed, and that we leave knowing you, and just, we desire relationship with you. We desire to be in your presence. We desire to know you more. And as the song said, deep cries out to deep. We cry out to you from the deepest parts of our being, that we really just want to be in your presence. So come, Lord Jesus, and we pray these things in his precious and glorious name. Amen. So Acts 2, verse 1, listen for the word of the Lord. And I'm reading from the NIV. I don't know what you have. Is that what you guys have here? Okay. And it's the older NIV. There's a new NIV. There's all these different versions. So I've got the old school one. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, and that's an important word, suddenly, boom, our lives change suddenly at times, right? Just in the brink of, just like that, things shift. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, that's important too, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the word of the Lord. So here we are at Pentecost, but before we kind of talk about Pentecost, we need to sort of look back at Passover, which came 50 days ago, was Passover. And to get a full understanding of what Pentecost is, I wasn't raised in the church. And when people would talk about Pentecost, I didn't really understand it. And it took me a while to really get a grasp of it. So, but it has such a rich and deep meaning. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. I'm going to move this forward because I'm really clumsy and there's a cord back here. And it would not bode well for me if I get tangled up in it. So Passover was when the Exodus from Egypt, right? I'm sure you guys all talked about this. You got Ray Vanderlaan in this church, so I know you know what Passover is. But Passover was fulfilled. It fulfilled the promises to Abraham that God was going to rescue his people. And the lambs were sacrificed and the Israelites were saved from the avenging angel that killed the firstborn of the Egyptians. And the Israelites, they set out and they passed through the Red Sea and through the Sinai Desert. And then, so here they are, then 50 days later, they came to Mount Sinai, and this is where Moses received the law. Pentecost in and of itself to the first century Jew took place on the 50th day after Passover, and it was an agricultural festival. It was where farmers brought their first sheaves of wheat and offered it to God as a sign of gratitude to him, to thank him for the first fruits, but also it was a prayer that the rest of the crop would be gathered in. And this is an agricultural community, so you understand agriculture. You just prayed for it. So the 50th day, they would bring that as a way of thanking God and praying to God for future blessing. So essentially, Pentecost, though, it isn't just about first fruits. For us, this sheaf says, yeah, that the harvest has begun. And Pentecost here in the book of Acts is saying the harvest has just begun. That it's a sign of the fact that now we are called to participate in this harvest. I mean, Jesus himself said in Matthew 9 that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So you are being called to work and to harvest. But now you're not going to be harvesting wheat. You're going to be harvesting souls. And so when the Israelites arrived at Mount Sinai, Moses went up on the mountain and he came down with the law. Here we have Jesus who had gone up and to up into heaven and then ascended and is now coming again. Not written in law, carved on stone, but designed in a way where he's going to be written on human hearts, written on each and every one of your hearts. As the scripture says, all of them were filled. All believers are filled. So you are all filled. And so Pentecost then is a call for you and a call for me to get out there, in the wind, to get out there and to evangelize, to get out there and to harvest, to get out there and to share Jesus with people. It's let this whooshing sweep through your life. Let it whoosh through your life suddenly like that. Let it take a hold of you. And as it comes in, let it grab hold of your heart and let it grab hold of your being. Because you are a new creation in Jesus. Suddenly, we all have suddenlies in our lives. Suddenly, Baron, you have to go to the hospital because you have a heart issue. Suddenly, for the Scrotenbor family, Ray lost his beloved wife. Suddenly, things shift just like that in our lives. We all have a suddenly in our lives. And when we feel this, it's in those suddenly moments that when we cry out to God, as it says, and as Jesus again said, come to me when you are weary. Come to me and I will give you rest. When we call on him, that's a promise that as you come, that in the suddenly moments as you cry out, that this pouring of the Spirit, the sheer energy of heaven itself is poured out on earth and is poured out on you and is alive in you. You are given, when you become a believer, you're given a new heart. Your heart, God, he takes your heart. He doesn't bandage up the old one, but he gives you a new heart, and you have a new heart so that you can go forth and live in this new life, which you have been blessed with. So the gift of the Spirit is a direct result of the ascension of Jesus. He's Lord of all. And his very energy and the power that whooshed in suddenly is now within you. You have that same power to go forth. And as Peter did, as he spoke, to transform the lives. And 3,000 people believed through the courage that he had when he stepped forth and he spoke. That is in you. It's kind of sometimes a little bit difficult to grasp, maybe. But this wind, as it says, the wind and the fire. If you think of wind and the fire, and you see the kids up here, and they're doing the fire. Wind and fire are very, very unpredictable. And it can be terrifying, but it can also be exhilarating. Dennis and I were just at the beach yesterday and there was this beautiful breeze coming off, and it's exhilarating when it's warm and you're standing on the beach and you just feel it just washing over you. It's so comforting and so peaceful. But when the wind shifts, it can be terrifying. And I have to kind of wonder, too, if this group of folks who were gathered, they were probably in this moment. I like to put myself in the story, and I have to wonder what must have been going through their mind. And for me, myself, I would have been probably a little bit frightened and puzzled, and this would have been largely a group of uneducated men and women who became a force to be reckoned with. They were probably, I have to imagine, in a place where there was some grief and some sadness that was resting upon them. They had lost their beloved teacher not long before. And here they're sitting, and they know they're waiting for something, but they don't quite understand what they're waiting for. They had to go through the process of replacing Judas. And even in that process, dealing with that had to be a reminder to them of what he had done. I know I myself, I wrestle with forgiving certain people. I just had something happen this past week. I'm like, it wasn't anything that I had done wrong. It was just the misconceptions of other folks who were looking into a situation and who were being very, very judgmental. Of working in the jail, you come across quite a few people who look at the folks who spend time there. We can be really, really judgmental when it comes to thinking about those people. And so when people talk about those people, I take that personally. And I dig my heels in and I want to fight. Because they're not those people. They're sons and daughters of the risen King, just as you or me. And by the grace of God, I didn't end up in that facility. But I can tell you, I did some things where I should have been there. So I really, it's interesting whenever something is being prepared like this, it's kind of like God forces me to have to live it. And so I wrestle with unforgiveness. So when I think about them having to replace Judas, I can't even fathom what they must have been going through as they're thinking through that. And I say all this because I think it makes me think of grief. And I have to think they maybe were feeling a little bit of grief at that time. And so when you are grieving over something, you're grieving over the loss of your beloved teacher that you spent 3 years with. You're grieving over the fact that this man you thought was your friend betrayed you and betrayed Jesus. When we feel grief, I know for me, sometimes you just want to lay down and you want to die. And in those moments when we have those, I just want to lay down and I just want to die moments, in those moments when life can kind of feel like hell, we all have hell on earth moments, that the Spirit has a tendency to enter in, and he entered into that moment where they were, into that room, and he lifted them out of their inaction. And he gave them the ability to communicate, and he gave them the ability to seize the moment. It breathed new life into them. Literally breathed new life into them. And that's what the Spirit does for us too. It breathes new life into us. It makes things happen and inspires us to do things that we never, ever thought we could do. I'm a dreamer. And I feel like when God puts a dream on your heart, don't minimize it and don't think, oh, that's just a dream, that'll never happen. Chase it. Go after it. Because with the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. And our time here is so short. It really is short. Especially for the younger folks here. I wish somebody would have told me when I was your age. Go for it. But instead, I had people in my life who were telling me I would never amount to anything. So it took me a little while to kind of catch up. But man, were they wrong. They were wrong. So the Spirit gives us second wind. In those moments when we're beat down, in those moments when we're low, in those moments when we call on God and don't understand, you lay it at his feet and you say, I don't understand. He gives you a second wind. And I love the fact that Peter gave his message and 3,000 were saved. Because it wasn't that long before that he denied Christ and probably felt pretty bad about it, and then was restored. And in the midst of that, though, it gives me encouragement, and it should give each of you encouragement too, that no matter what you've done, that God loves you for exactly who you are. And there's nothing that you can do that'll keep you from him when you come to him. God has compassion on those who are enslaved. And we are enslaved. We may not be locked up physically in a jail cell, but we have our own personal prison. Some of us create our own, and sometimes they're just forced upon us. We're all enslaved to something. For me, I sometimes let fear get the best of me, and I don't do something because I'm afraid of ABC, mainly looking like a fool or failing. So fear is one of the things that I'm enslaved to. Each and every one of us here in this room have something. If we really search deep, we have something that we're enslaved to. So, but Jesus became sin so that you could become righteous. And that, how cool is that? It's really simple. The gospel is very simple. And sometimes we complicate it. And we give up too soon. I feel like oftentimes, and I can look back, it's always easier to look back. And so I can look back and I can see that those times when I've had setbacks and those times when I wanted to give up, but I pushed through. Usually when I'm being spiritually attacked, and spiritual warfare is real. It is real. Sometimes we give Satan a little bit too much credit because you do have authority over him. He's under your feet, and don't ever let him tell you any different. Stomp him and smoosh him. But it's real. Spiritual warfare is real. And it's in those moments that remember who you are. That you are sons and daughters of the risen King. And take authority of that. And take hold of that authority. And don't give up. Because typically when I'm being attacked, there's a breakthrough right around the corner. And it's always interesting that when the breakthrough comes, boom, it lifts. So, because of what happened to me this past week, I feel like things happened to me so that I could share it with other people. Embrace the things in the people that you don't like very much. It's really hard. But they are needed in your life. People who push you and irritate you and get under your skin are needed in your life because they force you to grow. So thank God for them. Pray for them. Forgive them. And to be honest, when you think you've arrived and you've gotten to where you need to be, your journey has probably just begun. So thank God for those who've hurt you. And then just let it go. That's hard to do, though. So Pentecost, I'm going to wrap up here. Pentecost is a harvest. It's a harvest. It's harvest time, my brothers and sisters. It is harvest time. We celebrate Jesus' promise. It means that we're not alone, which is pretty darn cool that you're not alone. That the Holy Spirit was sent as an advocate and as a helper. And it also meant that the disciples didn't have to mourn the loss of their teacher anymore. They were emboldened to go out and to do the work that was before them. So that would be my encouragement to you. Today is the day of harvest. The Spirit that you have in you, it's my hope and my prayer for you that God will awaken that Spirit within you. And no matter where you are on the spiritual spectrum, wherever you are in your journey, it's my hope and my prayer for you that today, as you leave this place, that you will leave with your eyes wide open to see God in all things, in the faces of your brothers and sisters around you, in the faces of the stranger who's walking down the street, or the attendant at the gas station, or wherever you may go, in your homes, in your workplaces, that you will see God, and that you will go forth and know that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, and each and every one of you is held accountable. You are a worker called to draw in the harvest. And just as Peter, the 3,000 were converted, each and every one of you has that in you. You have it in you. It can be as simple as having a ministry of smiles. Wherever you go, smile and say hello and look people in the eye. Or it can be laying a hand on someone and praying with them when they're in pain. Or just, I have a God bless you minute. I say God bless you a lot to folks. And you'll be shocked how big of a difference that can make in someone's life when they hear somebody say, God bless you. So create your own little ministry. It's not difficult. It can be Jesus. Be Jesus. Be Jesus. It'll transform your lives and it'll transform your marriage and it'll transform your relationships. I promise you that. So let's pray. O Lord of the harvest, thank you for being our God. Thank you for being a God who shows up suddenly, even when we least expect it. Thank you that we can rest at your feet and trust that you are in control. Father, as your Holy Spirit hovers over each of us here in this room, because we know that you are here, because where two or more are gathered, you are there. I just ask that you awaken your Spirit in the name of Jesus in each and every person here. Fill them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Fill them with your love. Fill them with grace and fill them with mercy. And as they look at themselves in the mirror, I pray that you give them eyes to not see what the world sees, but to see what you see. Sons and daughters of the risen King who were created in your image to do great things for the gospel. Father, equip us and give us the courage to step into our faith, to live differently, to love differently, and to pour out your love on everyone that we come into contact with. And forgive us for those times when we have fallen short, for those missed opportunities. We give those to you and we repent of them and we just ask for new opportunities as we grow and learn. Thank you that you're a God who is not judgmental or condemning, but you are a God who loves us exactly the way we are in the midst of the mess, in the midst of whatever it is, the chaos that is our lives. Thank you that you meet us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that in him we are called to be so much more. Help us to rest in the love that you have poured out upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.